Hello, today I'm going to talk about Abraham's three visitors. So let me read from scripture, Genesis 18:1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abraham was in his tent in the plains of Mamre. So if you take a look at my map, you see the red indicator showing where the plains of Mamre was in Hebron. Yeah. And Abraham pitched his tent. As you know, that Abraham lived a nomadic lifestyle. He moved from place to place with his flock and also family. And at this point in time, he was in Hebron in the plains of Mamre. And the Lord appeared to him as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he went to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So the Lord appeared, and he saw, he ran, and he bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So Abraham knew that it was the Lord, God Almighty. He says, Please do not go away and stay for a while. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. So Abraham was very hospitable. He told his Lord he will fetch water to wash his feet and provide some rest for them under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. So they were very happy, and they also would stay a while with Abraham. And so they agreed to Abraham's offer to rest and to have some refreshment. And Abraham hastened into the tent and unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three bashes of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. So Abraham rushed into the tent and asked Sarah to prepare the meal. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. So Abraham also took a young calf to prepare for food for the visitors. And he took butter and milk and a calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. So after it was prepared, the bread was made, the calf was cooked for food, it was all brought to the visitors, and the three visitors had the food and drink while Abraham stood by to wait upon the three visitors. So let me go on to the next slide. And we go on to with the reading then. And they said unto him, the visitors said unto Abraham, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. So, of course, the Lord was with them, Lord God Almighty, no less, and with him the two angels. They asked, Where was Sarah, Abraham's wife? And Abraham said, Oh, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, meaning that Sarah is already past the age of childbearing. She was already very old then. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Sarah laughed after hearing what the visitor said, that she will have a child next year. Next year would mean 90 years old. She thought, it's laughable. How could a 90-year-old woman bear a child? She laughed in disbelief. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" So, of course, the Lord God Almighty knows all things, hears all things, sees all things. He turned to Abraham and asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Sarah was in the tent. And the Lord knows. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So the Lord told Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah laughed, as she's past childbearing age, she's not going to have a son. And so the Lord says, is anything too hard for Almighty God? Even past childbearing, way past childbearing, is anything too hard for the Lord that she will still have a child? So you see in this picture, Sarah in the tent, laughing in disbelief. She's already very old, 89 at that point in time, because she gave birth to Isaac when she was 90. So at this point, 1 year ahead would be 89. And you see the three visitors outside the tent, and they were talking to Abraham. Then the Lord said, why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord and you? And let's read what Sarah said. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And she said, nay, but thou didst laugh. So when confronted by the Lord for laughing, she said, she did not laugh. She lied. So it's interesting to note that the emotions and the reaction from Sarah. And I will stop here for a while. And I would like you to watch this video on the reaction of Sarah. I'd like to say again that the video is inaccurate, and it must be so because it is a movie, and the conversations between man and God, man and man, and all the conversations are all parts written by movie makers. So they are not authentic. And it's also not in the Bible. And many events are also made up. So please be discerning as you watch the movie. What I want you to be attentive towards is the reaction of Sarah, how she laughed, and the emotions portrayed by Sarah at the time. Did she laugh because she was very delighted that she's going to have a son next year? Or did she laugh because it was a laugh of disbelief? Sometimes we don't believe something and we laugh, ha, 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 ha. How can it be? That's the laugh of disbelief, not the laugh of belief. And then subsequently, what made her to tell a lie that she did not laugh? And very importantly, I want you to take note of her reaction, because the emphasis here is that Sarah is an ordinary person. She behaves like any ordinary person. Yeah. And so please pay attention to the reaction, and you'll notice that we are like her, or she is like us. We laugh at the same thing. And sometimes we tell a so-called a white lie, a lie that doesn't hurt anyone, just like what Sarah did. She thinks that if she laughs, who's to know? Who's Who was hurt by her lie? Nobody. But at least she covers the embarrassment of not believing that she will give birth to a child. So pay attention to these reactions, and we will talk about it much more later on. So I will go to the video.
We have guests. Bring some water. Welcome. Welcome to my home. Rest yourselves a while. Let water be brought that you may wash your feet, and food that you may warm your heart.
I thank you, Abraham, for your hospitality.
Where is your wife, Sarah? She's in the tomb.
Abraham.
Do not pass yourself by. Stay with me. Let a bit of bread be brought, that you may refresh yourself.
Do as you have said. I will stay a while, then return to you in 1 year. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.
So you saw the video, and we'll move on and ask the question, why did Sarah laugh and lie? She heard the visitor outside the tent saying that she's going to give birth at the age of 19, and she laughed. Would a woman give birth at 90 years old? Incredible and laughable. And of course, the Lord knew that she was laughing. And the Lord confronted her. Is it too hard for the Lord to have a 90-year-old woman give birth? And then she lied that she did not laugh. So first of all, I'd like to suggest to you that Sarah is like any ordinary person. ordinary person would react in disbelief and also perhaps make a joke out of it that a 90-year-old woman is to give birth. It's incredible, and many were even taught today is that such a news today is fake news. Yeah, it is either fake news or it is something incredible and difficult to believe. Nobody is going to accept that it's something that happens commonly, that a 90-year-old woman give birth. And so she didn't believe. And then why did she lie? She lied because she couldn't tell the visitor that it's not going to happen. I'm 90-year-old. Because then it would make the visitor seem silly. And what more, it was the Lord who was present before her. And so to cover up her her making light of the whole situation, she said she didn't lie. She didn't lie. After all, she probably thought, who's to know that she did laugh in the tent? There was nobody in the tent. Nobody knew that she laughed. And who is going to be hurt if you told a white lie? A white lie is a lie that, very small little lie that no one is going to be hurt by telling such a lie. That's a white lie. Yeah. So isn't that like you and I? Huh? Very kind of human reaction. So what I want to say here is that Sarah is an ordinary person like you and I. And God uses ordinary person like you and I for his work. He doesn't choose someone which is very high in intellect, very strong in his muscular stature to do great work for him. No, he uses ordinary person like Abraham and Sarah, who are prone to all the imperfection of human being, including lying, deception, mockery, the common human failings. And that's you and I. And you look at how the Lord reacts. He didn't sort of punish Sarah and say, look, Sarah, you told a lie. Now that you told a lie, I'm not going to have you mother Isaac anymore. No. The Lord is understanding. He doesn't punish all the time. And he's very slow to anger. But he knows, and he hurts him, that a lie has been told and a sin has been committed. And so that is Sarah, a great woman blessed by God, a very great woman, but ordinary in all her ways. Yeah. So consider this, that we are also ordinary persons whom God will use greatly. So the spiritual lesson to us is that due to this belief, God appeared in person to Abraham to reiterate that Sarah would give birth to a son. So you remember in previous chapters of Genesis, God told Abraham many times that he is going to have many descendants. And to have many descendants, he must at least have one son. And so it is that Sarah will give birth to the promised son of God. But it is always a nagging doubt at the back of the mind. And so you have the episode where Sarah took in Hagar to have Abraham marry Hagar and give birth through Hagar, because Sarah didn't believe that she was going to give birth to a child. And then Sarah was impatient and took in Hagar. Yeah. And probably it was also common for this kind of practice 4,000 years ago, that you have second wives, third wives, and you have more children by then, because it is an agricultural society. You want a big family to look after the farm, to look after the livestock. And having many children through a few wives is not uncommon. And so Hegel will be influenced by such practices those days. And so God has to appear in person in the plane of Mamre to speak to Abraham and tell him in no uncertain terms that Sarah will give birth to a son next year. And Abraham recognized that it was the Lord before him. The three visitors knew all the details about Abraham and Sarah. So there's nobody else in the arid land of Canaan at that time who would know Abraham that well. And these are strangers. So, and that gives a lot of assurance to Abraham. So what we see is that the Lord cares, and he also assures us and encourages us when we are doubtful. He loves us and cares for us. He will also assure us and encourage us when we are doubtful. God will show us through signs and circumstances his will for us. Well, precisely. So how does this apply to us? Yeah. Many of us are working people, and the job plays an important part in our life. If I may share my own experience, in my past, I left my job. Presently, I am employed. In my past job, it was a very difficult period, and I had to resign without a job. But God provided a new job. And it's very unusual circumstances that he provided a job, because when I left my previous job, I wasn't really looking for a job yet. I was sort of recovering, because the past job was a very intensive job and it took a lot out of me. So I just went without a job and just tried to recover physically and mentally. Because I was subject to a lot of stress in the work. And right through a period of 6 months, I was just enjoying life and taking it easy and slow. And suddenly there was a telephone call. A friend of mine, whom I have not seen for years, called me. He was a dean of NUS and asked me whether I will be interested to teach in NUS. I was very surprised, because I have not kept in touch with him. And how would he know that I was without a job? And he said, somehow through the grapevine, he got to know that I was available. The subject that I would be teaching was something very familiar to me, and something which I enjoyed, interested which I have. And I readily accepted the offer. So amazing. God planned for all of us, our lives, and not just this job. You know, in my past, I had many changes in jobs in the past. But whenever I left a job, I didn't have a job waiting for me. As in, I did not get an acceptance from an alternative employment before I handed in my resignation. It was always the reverse. I always hand in the resignation and then I look for a job. And God provided each and every time. And I'm amazed at God's provision. So I'm sure in the same way, God also provided for you. If you can recall how in the past, many events and plans which God has provided for you to sustain you preserve you. So this is a spiritual lesson that God provides for us. He has an amazing plan for you and me. In the same way that he provided for Abraham and Sarah, for Sarah to have Isaac. And even though Abraham and Sarah were doubtful, to say the least, God still was very assuring and patient with Abraham and Sarah, and in sort of assuring them time and again that it would happen. God even appeared in person in the plains of Mamre to Abraham and Sarah to assure them it would be so in the next year. Despite Sarah's lie, God was still patient with Sarah and telling her that the son will be coming along in a year's time. So that is the love of God for his people. Okay, let me carry on reading on. The second part is also interesting in chapter 18. And let me read on scripture. Okay, I shall read from chapter 18, verse 20 onwards. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. So here you are. The three visitors have already finished what they're supposed to do to assure Abraham and Sarah that Isaac will be given birth in a year's time. And now they are on their way. And the Lord told Abraham that he's going to Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is grievous, meaning their sin is very serious, very grave. So the Lord is going there to assess the situation and take action. And let me read on. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. So the man is the two angels. Yeah, went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood there before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous and wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So Abraham knew what the Lord was about to do because the sin or the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is common for everybody to know. So Abraham also knew what the Lord was going to do. The Lord was going to punish those two cities grievously because of their sin. And Abraham said, Lord, will you punish them even if they are 50 righteous people in the city? Are you going to destroy the two cities? Even if there are 50 righteous men there, are you going to destroy the 50 righteous men with the rest of the wicked people in the two cities? Because Abraham knows the Lord loves righteous people. And verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous and the wicked, is what Abraham said. It is not like you, Lord, to destroy the righteous and the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So Abraham said, surely God, you will do right. You will not destroy the righteous together with the wicked. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous people within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. So the Lord said, yeah, if there are 50 righteous people, I will spare the city for the sake of the 50. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. So Abraham was very humble in pursuing the point that he is dust and ashes, but he must pursue the point with God. Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50 righteous? Will thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there are 40 and five, I will not destroy it. So Abraham knew that there wasn't 50 righteous people, because if God says he's going to spare the cities if you could find 50 righteous people, meaning, no, there isn't 50 righteous people. So Abraham quickly follow up with the question, what if there is 45 righteous people? Will you spare? And God says, yes, he will spare the cities if there are 45 righteous people, meaning there are no 45 righteous people. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. So meaning there are no 40 righteous people. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if there were, if I find 30 there. So no 30 righteous people. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak. Unto the Lord, peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. He said, I will not destroy it for the 26. And goes all the way down to, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet. But this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake, not even 10 righteous people. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. So you notice the conversation between Abraham and the Lord. Abraham was trying to dissuade, the Lord from destroying Sodom and Gomorrah for their grievous sin. And now I would like you to watch part of the video showing this part of the conversation between the Lord and Abraham. And I want you to take note of this, Abraham's reaction. Why is he doing this? Why is he dissuading the Lord not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And if I will put it to you, it is the compassion of Abraham. Compassion towards even very wicked people. We all know about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm sure in the time of Abraham, they know too. And the Lord was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. And Abraham dissuaded the Lord from doing so out of compassion for them. Something very unusual. Today, if you tell me that that you have compassion for drug pushers and vice operators and all these terrible people, I'll be very surprised. But that is what Abraham is doing. I mean, the equivalent of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah for today are people like scammers, drug pushers, vice operators, and the like. Yeah. So anyway, before I move on further into my discussion on this point, I would like you to watch the video. And again, notice the reaction, the emotion of Abraham. What spurred him to persuade the Lord not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah?
Whole city for the 50 righteous who are in it. Far be it from the Lord to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
Not laugh.
Oh, but you did laugh. You will bear Abraham a son, and you will call him Isaac, meaning laughter. Ishmael, do not worry about Ishmael. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation.
My lord, will you not stay a while longer?
I shall not hide from my friend Abraham, the father of nations, what I am about to do. The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. The sins of which they are accused are very grave. And I will go there to see if they indeed have done according to these outcries.
My lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? My lord, suppose 50 righteous are within the city. Will you not spare the whole city for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from the Lord to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
If I find at Sodom 50 righteous, I will spare the whole city for their sake.
My lord, I who am but dust and ashes should dare not ask, but suppose 5 of the 50 are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5?
I will not destroy it if I find 45 there.
My lord, be not angry. Suppose 40 are found there.
For the sake of 40, I will not do it.
Suppose 30?
I will not do it if I find 30.
20?
For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it.
My lord. My lord, may I speak again just this once? Suppose 10.
For 10, I will not destroy it.
My lord, what of those that are without guilt?
Yes, so you've seen the portion of video showing how Abraham tried to dissuade the Lord from destroying Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins. And so the point is that Abraham has this great compassion. And he's not just asking the Lord for mercy for people who are not believing, non-believers. He's asking mercy for people who are grave sinners. If you read in the next chapter in Genesis 19, you'll find that these people are no ordinary sinful people. They are rapists, they violent people. And Abraham is asking for mercy for God to not to destroy them, okay? Because Abraham has this great compassion for these people. And you notice also, God also has compassion, because our God is a compassionate God, but God was also a God of justice. So God, when the Lord went into this discourse with Abraham, if there are 50, would you, Lord God, destroyed the 50 along with all the wicked people? And the Lord answered, no, he will not do it. And went on for so many, many numbers, which in descending order. And the Lord was so patient in answering Abraham each of these descending numbers, showing his patience for Abraham. I mean, he's Lord God Almighty. I mean, if he destroys, he destroys, you know. We are, after all, his creatures. But he was willing to be so patient with Abraham, and in answering Abraham each and every question. And he answers in a very compassionate way too, that yeah, he will not destroy if there are 10. Very compassionately and very patiently, he answers Abraham. But it appears that there were none righteous, not even 10 in the whole city. I presume that there will be thousands in the city. And so God exacted justice in this case because of the grievous sin. So the only family that came out of Sodom and Gomorrah was Lot's family. So the spiritual lesson is, do we pray for unbelievers that may repent and accept the Lord? Or are we judgmental and uncaring towards them? Coming back to Abraham's example, I dare say many, very few people pray for drug pushers, scammers, and vice operators, that they will repent and accept the Lord. But that was what Abraham did in his time. He prayed for people of Sodom, or he pleaded the Lord not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah so that they have another opportunity in life. But today, I'm sure very few people would do that. Well, I'm talking about myself too. How often do I pray for scammers? Look, we hear the news very regularly about old people, poor people being cheated of their millions because of scammers on a mobile phone. Yeah, millions are cheated. Millions of dollars are cheated because of scammers. And these poor people, their life saving is all gone in their old age. How do I show sympathy to scammers? I'll probably think to myself, I hope the police catch this man and throw him into jail and throw away the key. Such devious and terrible things that they do. To cheat the old and the innocent and the harmless and to get away with their money for themselves. Look at Abraham. It is something which I find this part of him is truly, truly unusual. Which ordinary people like myself would not be equal to, that he prayed for people like in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he wanted the Lord not to destroy them. So, yes, we are judgmental and uncaring towards the likes of people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And sometimes I rationalize it. They don't deserve any help. They don't deserve love and care for the terrible things they do. That's where we fall short of Christ's love. Christ loved the sinners, just like Abraham loves the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and wish no harm to come upon them. And we, being Christians, have to learn to show this agape love, a love that goes beyond ordinary love. You show love to someone who shows love to you, but Christ is way beyond that. We are supposed to show love to people who are deviants, who are sinners, who are grave doers of wicked and evil things. That is the mark of a real Christian. So I would like to request that we pray for these people, pray that they will repent and accept the Lord, and through the love of Christ, that they will turn away from their sin. But even when I say this, I must confess that I have very little faith myself. But that is what Abraham has shown by his example. Jesus Christ our Lord too. Yeah. When he was on the cross, when all the people laughed and mocked at him, he said, "Forgive them for their sin, for they know not what they do." Such great love is not known in any except the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would like to seek prayer for people who are grievous sinners, and not just spare a thought for them, not be too judgmental, and uncaring towards them. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy loving care for all of us in planning our lives in the way that You planned the lives of Abraham and Sarah, and how You not just planned but also took care of them in every turn of their life, assuring them, comforting them, and showing them signs of Thy will for them, including towards Sarah, who is her unbelief in having a child. And yet, Lord, Thou art so patient and so gentle in showing Sarah the way forward. Lord, I also want to praise Thee and thank Thee for the example of Abraham in this episode, how he tried to dissuade the Lord from destroying Sodom and Gomorrah because of his compassion. But thou knowest more, and Thou wields justice. Sodom and Gomorrah deserve ultimate destruction. And Thou showed that Thou hast tempered justice with compassion in the way Thou answered Abraham. Truly, Lord, Thou art a merciful and loving God, not wishing anyone to perish, not even those who are wicked and sinful. And Thou hast waited all this while, Lord, for them to turn from their sin, repent, and come before Thee. And I thank Thee, Lord, that in this world we are still living, Thou hast not destroyed the world for their sin, and Thou art still waiting for many to come before Thee, sinners, to turn from their sin and to come before Thee, accepting You as Lord and Savior. So it is with all of us who are now believers that we too should pray and seek the repentance of many who are still outside the faith, that they may turn to Thee, give up their sinful and wicked ways, turn to Thee for forgiveness and in repentance, Thou will accept them and grant them salvation. So forgive us our sin, for many of us, we are still in the old self. Show us the way forward and teach us, Lord, to turn away from our sin, not just praying by lip service, asking for forgiveness, but truly turn away and do that which is pleasing and righteous before Thee. I pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. I'll stop here. Goodbye.